You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 3 and 4 as we continue in our series, By His Stripes. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 and 4. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. And let's pray. Lord, we look today at the subject of abuse. I pray you just teach us this morning that there is freedom and there is healing in the blood that you shed on that cross 2,000 years ago. I pray you just show us this morning what we need to do to receive that healing ourselves. Pray you come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you open your word, teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Years ago, when I was growing up on the farm, my parents always had chickens. And my mom would sell the eggs to the neighbors for extra money. So one night, I was about 6 years old. Me and my mom went over to our neighbor's house, Lester and Lucy Foreman. Got out of the car, started walking toward the house. And all of a sudden, their big old German shepherd came tearing out of nowhere, knocked me down and started chewing a hole in the back of my coat. And Lucy just started laughing. She said, "Don't worry, he's just playing." Playing nothing, he was biting. And if it hadn't been for my coat, he'd have been biting into me and I'd have been dog chow. Talk about abuse. People, that happened 53 years ago. And to this day, I can still remember it. And to this day, I'm still scared of every big dog that I see. Abuse. Sometimes it's not dogs that attack. Sometimes it's people. And what they did to abuse you and hurt you so many years ago can still hurt and abuse you today and rock your world just as if it was happening at the moment. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how we can be healed of that. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series for Lent called By His Stripes, looking how the stripes Jesus bore and the blood He shed on the cross can still heal us from anything and everything that's ailing us today. And today we see how the stripes of Jesus Christ can heal us of abuse. And to see that, we turn this morning to Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 3 and 4. In this part of Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah is telling us that Jesus not only died for the sins we committed, He also died for the sins that other people committed against us too, like when they abused us. And our text today tells us that healing comes through the cross and the stripes and the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we need to go to the cross of Jesus Christ and be healed of it too. Our text this morning, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 and 4, tells us three things that we need to do to be healed of abuse by His stripes. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to be healed of abuse, we need to understand what it is. And that's exactly what Isaiah is telling us here in verses 3 and 4. And the most important thing we need to do to understand it, we need to turn to Jesus Christ. Because your bestie can pray for you, your support group can relate to you, your psychiatrist can medicate you, your pastor can counsel you, your therapist can help you, but Jesus can heal you. Amen. We need to turn to Jesus Christ. And why? Because Jesus was abused too. More than Black Beauty and Old Yeller and Bambi's mother all put together. Jesus was abused emotionally and mentally and psychologically because the Pharisees called Him Beelzebub Himself. Jesus' own disciples sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver and denied 3 times they even knew who He was. And when the heat was on and He got arrested, they dropped Him like a hot rock. Jesus' own family thought He was nuts. And Jesus' own people who cheered Him on Palm Sunday cried out, "Hang Him high" on Good Friday. So the people who were supposed to love Him and support Him more than anybody else in the whole wide world didn't. He was the Son of God and the Savior of the world, but He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Jesus was abused. And even though He never did one single thing wrong, Jesus was abused physically. When the Roman soldiers beat Him to a pulp and pounded a crown of thorns on His head and horsewhipped Him to within an inch of His life, and then they crucified Him. And it didn't just crucify him behind the jail, because Calvary was on the main drag running out of Jerusalem. So it was like being put to death in Times Square or Fox Valley Mall so everybody could see it. And crucifixion was so horror show, Roman historians purposely never left behind one single description of what actually happened during a crucifixion. It was that bad. Jesus was abused verbally on that cross. Hail, King of the Jews! If you're the Messiah, come down from that cross. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Yeah, because if he had saved himself, he couldn't have saved others. Jesus was abused sexually. Because every victim that Rome crucified, they crucified buck naked to add to the humiliation. And Jewish culture back then, that has even more respect for the human body than we have today, made it even more embarrassing. Jesus was abused every which way but loose, like nobody's business. Do we understand what abuse is? Because America today, it's everywhere. Mental, emotional, psychological, verbal, neglect, physical abuse, sexual abuse. During the lockdown, incidents of domestic violence in America were at an all-time high. Police respond to 25,000 calls for domestic violence every day in America. And 3 out of 4 calls to 911 are for domestic violence. 1 out of 6 girls and 1 out of 4 boys now will be sexually molested by the time they're 18 years old. A woman gets raped 3 times every minute in America today. 1 out of 5 girls will be physically or sexually assaulted on a date. Because of the lockdown, abuse in America has never been worse than it is right now. And here's just some of the things that abuse does to people. PTSD, nightmares, flashbacks, anxiety, depression, isolation, withdrawal, eating disorders, sleep disorders, problems with sex and intimacy, lack of trust, problems with bonding, inability to concentrate. And because of that, God absolutely hates abuse and does not condone it in any way, shape, or form. The Bible teaches spanking. The Bible does not teach beating and child abuse. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. The Bible does not say, wives, sign up for kickboxing tournaments. I have been in hospital rooms with wives whose husbands have broken their necks and their backs. That's not submission. That's called felonious assault. So all you stupid pastors who maybe listen to this sermon right now, who are constantly telling wives there's never an excuse to get a divorce, God does hate divorce. He hates abuse even worse. There is something worse than divorce. It's called domestic violence. And your abuser always blames you. Look at what you made me do. This was all your fault. You were asking for it. And don't tell anybody. Because you'll get in trouble. And you wouldn't want to break up our family like that, would you? All kinds of famous people have dealt with divorce. Actress Marilyn Monroe was raised in foster care and was sexually molested by every single guy she ever came in contact with. Rocker Tom Petty had a dad who beat that kid black and blue all the while he was growing up. Rapper Mary J. Blige was raped 5 times before she was 12 years old. Actor Will Smith had an alcoholic father he called Daddy-O, who had hit Will Smith's mom so hard she would bleed from the ears. So when Will Smith got up at the Oscars, walked on stage, and slapped Chris Rock, guess who he learned that from? The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Do we understand abuse and how it's passed down the pattern generation after generation? There's people sitting in this church right now. You were abused too, weren't you? You had a boyfriend that called you 150 times a day and told you who you could and couldn't talk to. You had a mom who didn't want to deal with you, so she just put you in psych wards and told everybody that you were crazy. You don't even think about going to a high school class reunion because those people made your life a living hell, and you still hate them because of it. All bruises don't show up on the outside. Your old man used to beat you like a baby seal, and then he would call you a wuss and laugh at you. Your mom's boyfriend sexually molested you. And when you told your mom, she wouldn't believe it because she didn't want to lose him. She chose him over you. And not being believed is like being molested all over again. You got raped at a frat party in college. and it was the most terrifying thing that ever happened to you in your entire life, and you're still not right because you can still see that guy's face, and every time you smell the same kind of cologne that he was wearing, it makes you want to throw up. And you feel like damaged goods, like that stuff they scrape, the gunk they scrape off the bottom of their shoes. And you're ashamed as all get out, and you are scared to death that somebody's going to find out about it. You say, Kevin, I'm trying to forget all that stuff. But that's just it. You can't forget it. You got to die to forget something like that. And every so often, all those memories gang up on you, and they beat the living tar out of you, don't they? Do we understand what abuse is? We need to step back for a second and understand the abuse that the left put us through in this country for the last 2 years. Starting with the COVID pandemic and the absolutely unnecessary lockdown. But it got Donald Trump out of the White House and destroyed the economy and closed one out of every five churches in this country. So mission accomplished. And young people were so depressed they were killing themselves like nobody's business. And Big Brother said, no jab, no job. And if you question the vaccine in any way, shape, or form, you are a murderer because Joy Behar said so. And all our brainwashed family members treated us like lepers. And now there's a fourth vaccine. And Dr. Fauci's telling us to put a mask on again. Even though vaccines and masks never stopped COVID the first time. And vaccines caused an 84% increase in the deaths of 21 to 44-year-olds in this country. But hey, welcome to life in the New World Order. Then it was George Floyd. And even though he died from an overdose of fentanyl, that was spun into the idea that America is systemically racist. And the 1619 Project says that our country was founded on slavery. And critical race theory says all white people are racist and all black people are victims. Even though America is so not racist, Jussie Smollett had to stage a fake hate crime just to get people to think about it. And January 6th was an attack on our democracy, but the Black Lives Matter riots that burned our cities to the ground, they were justified. And to prove that, last March the 4th, the left passed the Emmett Till Act that made lynching a federal crime, even though Emmett Till was never lynched, and even though a black person hasn't been lynched in America in over 60 years. But see, we've got to perpetuate that lie that America is still so racist, black people have to walk around still being afraid of being strung up. And if you mention that Planned Parenthood kills more black people than the Klan did in their entire existence, that's just white fragility talking. And then it was defund the police. And letting criminals out of jail was considered reparations. So now crime is through the roof. And our cities have become shooting galleries. And people in Chicago have to be packing just to put gas in their car. And now Twitter and Facebook and YouTube destroyed our First Amendment rights by canceling it. Because if we question the vaccine or Hunter Biden's laptop or the election in any way, shape, or form, we were spreading disinformation and trying to overthrow the government. So we had to beg 20-something Twitter twits just for the right to speak. And then Joe Biden declared war on fossil fuel, even though America is sitting on oceans of oil, because he's going to save the world. And the high gas prices are Vladimir Putin's fault. So it's our patriotic duty to go broke just driving back and forth to work every week, because Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky is a hero and appeared on the Grammy Awards. And innocent people are being slaughtered in Ukraine. Even though nobody ever mentions innocent Christians being slaughtered in Nigeria and innocent Uyghurs being slaughtered in communist China, because Joe Biden and the left have been in cahoots with China for decades. And then it was radical leftist Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who doesn't know what a woman is and doesn't know when life begins and doesn't know where our rights come from. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. It's in the founding documents if she would just read it. And that woman will be on the Supreme Court for 40 years and she will smile and continue to oversee the continued destruction of our faith and our families and our freedoms and one nation under God. But we're still supposed to be tickled about it because Dick Durbin says her nomination was historic. I could go on and on and on. This is not right, people. This is not what our founding fathers intended. This is not the will of the American people. This is not what God intended for this country. For the last 2 years, we've been abused. We've been lied to, lied about, slandered, disenfranchised. We've had our country hijacked. We've had our rights taken away. We have been abused mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, physically, financially, verbally. I could go on and on 1,000 ways from Tuesday. And the only way we're ever going to do anything about it is if we first of all understand it. The first thing that we need to do to be healed of abuse, we need to understand what it is. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to be healed of abuse. We not only need to understand what it is, we need to turn to Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Isaiah is telling us here in verse 4. Now back in Jesus' day, when somebody was suffering, the Jewish people thought that meant God was punishing that person for doing something wrong. So verse 4, when people saw Jesus on the cross, they thought the suffering was all His fault. We considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. But Jesus wasn't suffering because He had done anything wrong. Jesus was suffering because of wrong things that other people had done to Him. Just like we suffer from abuse, from the wrong things that people do to us. But we need to realize what that means is the abuse was not our fault. And we need to remember that because every single time we get abused, the first thing the devil wants us to do is blame ourselves. But listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you did. I don't care what you said to your husband. I don't care if your bedroom wasn't spotless. I don't care how drunk or high you may have been. I don't care what you were or weren't wearing. That person was the adult. You are the minor. Victims are not responsible for the crime. That abuse was not your fault. Don't you dare, let the devil put a guilt trip on you and load you down with false guilt. That abuse was not your fault. We turn to Jesus Christ to be healed from abuse because Jesus takes away all the false guilt and the nightmares and the flashbacks and the depression. And He does it through the cross. Now we Christians get Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Jesus died for the sins that we commit. We don't do such a good job getting Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4 here. That Jesus not only died for the sins we committed, He also died for the sins and the abusive things that other people committed against us and all the griefs and the sorrows that that caused us. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, not just our sins. And that just doesn't mean that Jesus took Him away. That verb bore there in the original Hebrew in verse 4 literally means Jesus took all the griefs and the sorrows off of our shoulders, put them on His shoulders, and then carried them away so we don't have to carry them at all anymore. Last January in Uzbekistan, a 6'6", 377-pound world champion weightlifter named Lasha Talakadze set the world's record in the clean and jerk with an ungodly 588 pounds. This is what it looked like. Talk about total beast mode. Throws your back out just looking at it. But see, Jesus Christ did even better than that. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took all the griefs, all the sorrows, from all the abuse, from all people who ever lived or died throughout the history of the world, and said, clean and jerk this. And put all of that on His shoulders, died on the cross, and rose from the dead to put all that stuff to death and to destroy the power that that abuse has over us. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, Jesus heals us and gives us peace through the blood He shed on the cross. By His stripes we are healed of abuse. So the question is this morning, are you going to trust Jesus Christ to carry that abuse away? Are you still going to carry around all that abuse yourself? And people say, what's that thing on your back? There's nothing on my back. But I see it there. It looks like an incredible burden. I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I'm okay. But I can see it. I'm good. When do the Cubs play today? Do we see how ridiculous it is to deny it? To deny that burden that we are carrying around? Admit it, turn it over to Jesus Christ, and He can set you free from it. He can heal you from that. There is healing from abuse by turning to Jesus Christ and the cross. And folks, we got to realize that healing only comes through Jesus Christ and the cross. No other faith system can heal that, because no other faith system has a God that ever became a human being. Allah, Buddha, Krishna, Cucamonga of the Zulus, they don't know us. They can't relate to us. They don't understand us. They don't care about us because they've never been us. Do you know what one of the leading causes of death is for preteen Muslim and Hindu girls in the third world? Pregnancy. Because those demonic faith systems arrange marriages between grown men and little girls. So those faith systems aren't healing abuse. They're causing it. Jonathan Van Ness, a queer eye for the straight guy, is flaming gay and always wears a dress everywhere he goes. Because he grew up with an old man that beat the daylights out of him, and an older neighbor, an older guy in his neighborhood, sexually molested him all the while he was growing up. One of the leading causes of homosexuality is abuse by a same-sex person. We know that. It's documented. And yet gay people will go to their grave denying that. Because they don't want to go back and work through it. It's too painful to deal with, and turn it over to Jesus Christ to be healed. Carrying that burden. So let me ask you this morning, how many of us sitting in this church right now, listening to this sermon, are carrying a burden of abuse that God never intended us to carry because we're supposed to give it to Jesus Christ? And what happens if we don't? January 2012, a 14-year-old girl named Daisy Coleman, Maryville High School, Maryville, Missouri. Cheerleader, dancer, straight-A student, made a mistake, snuck out of the house to hang out with her brother's football friends. But one of those football friends, 17-year-old Matthew Burnett, got her drunk and raped her and then left her on her front porch in sub-zero weather with only yoga pants and a t-shirt on. Daisy Coleman's mom, Melinda, found her the next morning, the puke in her hair, frozen to the concrete steps. And Matthew Burnett was arrested for sexual assault. But because he was related to a four-time Missouri state representative, 4 days later, all the charges were dropped because the judge says the sex was consensual, like he was there. And Daisy and her mom raised such a stink for 2 years, finally 2014, they appointed a new prosecutor to the case. But still, the only thing that Matthew Burnett was ever charged with was endangering a child for leaving Daisy out there in the cold. That guy raped that girl. And the only thing he got out of it was 2 lousy years of probation. Meanwhile, Daisy Coleman was a basket case. She tried to kill herself 7 different times. In and out of inpatient therapy, counseling sessions, rehab centers. And because Matthew Burnett was a football star, the whole town turned against the Coleman family. Somebody in that town even burned down the Coleman's house. And all the kids in Maryville, Missouri at that high school slut-shamed Daisy Coleman so bad, the family had to move to another town 40 miles away. But Daisy Coleman got herself together a little bit, started a foundation, started traveling all over America, speaking out about sexual abuse and reaching out to sexual assault victims. She even wrote a book about it. She even did a Netflix series about it to try to help people who are dealing with the same thing she was dealing with. And she had another project in the works. But in spite of all the good things Daisy Coleman did, she never got over being raped back in January of 2012. And because of that, August 4th, 2020, she finally succeeded in killing herself and committing suicide. And then her mom, Melinda, committed suicide herself 2 weeks before Christmas that same year. And do you know why that happened? Because the devil doesn't care how you respond to sexual abuse. He doesn't care as long as you don't turn to Jesus Christ. There's people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. You were abused too. And it was the absolute worst thing that has ever happened to you in your entire life. And you thought about taking your life too. Listen to me. You don't have to do that. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live carrying that thing around with you. There is freedom from that by turning to Jesus Christ and the cross. We need to turn to Jesus Christ for one of the biggest abuses, the biggest attacks against young people all over America today. Kira Bell grew up north of London, England. with an alcoholic mother and an absent father. And she was a tomboy, and she was really good at sports. But because of her mom's drinking, she didn't have any close friends, and she was really depressed. Then one day, out of the clear blue, her mom said, "You should probably be a boy instead of a girl." So that got her looking at websites on the internet about transitioning. She got an appointment with the famous Tavistock Clinic in London. But instead of those doctors counseling that girl as a lonely girl with depression and anxiety and abandonment issues, they told her she was really a boy in a girl's body. So age 15, they started her on puberty blockers. Age 17, they did full-blown gender reassignment surgery. But today, 5 years later, Kara Bell is suing those doctors because she regrets transitioning like nobody's business. This is what she said. "After 5 years, I realized I had been lied to and rushed into a decision that I was not old enough to make, considering the life-altering implications of it. Because now I've lost my fertility forever. I can never have children. I lost my breasts and can never breastfeed. My genitals are atrophied. My voice has changed forever. And it's too late to go back and change any of that. I had so many issues, but all I really needed was some professional counseling and encouragement to be the kind of young woman God created me to be in spite of my issues." That's what they should have focused on, but they didn't. Instead, they followed a radical social agenda, and it has ruined my life forever. And yet, people, that is the same kind of madness that the lunatic left is trying to force on all kinds of young people today. Now, less than 0.1% of the population of this country has a legitimate mental disorder called gender dysphoria. But that's not what this is. This is about the left trying to manufacture it and brainwashing kids into thinking that they have it and telling them the only solution is to change their gender. Which is absolutely ridiculous because Genesis 1:28 says God creates every single person, either male or female, period. Even down to the DNA level, so there is no going back and forth. People, it is absolutely biologically impossible to change your gender. You can't change your gender, people. Who is it that's following the science and who isn't? So when all the wokies today talk about gender reassignment procedure, they don't bother telling you that involves your child taking puberty blockers, which is going to sterilize them for the rest of their life, and cutting out perfectly healthy body parts. So when Joe Biden says he's going to help children transition, he's talking about chemically castrating them and mutilating their genitals. Folks, the left wants your kids in school with a mask on their face, but they are perfectly fine with cutting off your daughter's breasts and your son's junk in order to follow a radical socialist agenda. People, this is insanity. Don't we realize how barbaric and demonic this is? And what's even worse, the gender reassignment procedure doesn't stop the dysphoria. Dr. Charles Blenfield said this, "We need to seriously reevaluate gender transitioning, because there's just way too much unhappiness among patients after changing genders. And too many people after transitioning still commit suicide. 80% of people who want a sex change shouldn't do it. And the other 20%, sex change only provides a temporary reprieve and certainly not a lifelong solution." And yet transgenderism is being pushed everywhere today. It's the soup of the day. Joe Biden announced last March 30th was National Transgender Day of Visibility. Caitlyn Jenner was just hired as an analyst by Fox News. Disney President Carrie Burke has announced that 50% of all characters in Disney shows and movies will be LGBTQ. So if you're not boycotting Disney yet, we have to talk. The NCAA continues to pretend that swimming champion Michael Thomas is really a woman named Leah, even though he has never taken any drugs or had any surgery to transition. And NBC is even softening his features and pictures to make him look more feminine. USA Today's Woman of the Year, Biden official Rachel Levine, is a man. And everything from Frosted Flakes to Lego sets to Oreo cookies are all transgender now. Transgenderism is being pushed into schools because our schools today are teaching kids to be trans and giving them opposite sex names and opposite sex clothes to wear during class and setting them up with puberty blockers supplied by Planned Parenthood and even scheduling them for gender reassignment surgery without the parents even knowing about it. In schools today, kids cannot smoke, they can't vape, they can't take a drug, they can't even take a Tylenol without their parents' permission. But they can take drugs now that will destroy their fertility without the parents having a clue. Kids today have to be 16 to drive, they got to be 18 to vote or sign a legal contract, but a 10-year-old child who's not even legally old enough to consent to sex can make a decision about changing his sex and gender. And folks, if the parents object, they're the ones considered abusive. This is absolutely asinine. And that's why Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida signed a Parental Rights Act, forcing all schools to notify parents that the kid is talking about transitioning. And also protecting kindergartners to third graders from being brainwashed by LGBT propaganda. Listen to me. If it takes a law to keep you from talking to a 5 or 6 year old kid about sex, you shouldn't be within a million miles of a school to begin with. So now the Biden administration is just going to cram it down you and your kids' throats. The Biden administration and the Department of Justice will go after all states that try to ban gender reassignment procedures for minor children. And they will go after all parents who refuse to let their children participate in gender reassignment procedures. Mom and Dad, they are coming for you. And the Biden Department of Justice will force all doctors and hospitals, even faith-based doctors and hospitals, to provide gender reassignment procedures for minor children. No religious exemptions allowed. So you're not just going to be asked to tolerate it, you're going to be forced to celebrate it. So you take young children, you purposely confuse them about their gender, you dope them up like a bear in the zoo, and then you carve on them like Dr. Frankenstein to satisfy less than 1% of the population of this country so they can feel good about themselves. People, it's not just controversial, it's criminal. This is child abuse. And we all know what's going on here. The devil is using perversion and wokeism and Marxism and rebellion against God to try to destroy the biblical nuclear family and male and female as God defined it. So he can destroy civilization as it was designed by God and replace it with a godless utopia that will destroy everybody. And the only healing for it, absolutely the only way to heal it, is not by getting people to change their gender. It's by getting people to change their hearts and minds by turning to Jesus Christ and getting saved. The second thing we need to do to be healed of abuse, we need to turn to Jesus Christ. Well, in our text and see a third thing we need to do to be healed of abuse. We not only need to understand what it is, we not only need to turn to Jesus Christ, but third, we just need to be set free. And that's also what Isaiah is telling us here in verses 3 and 4. But if that being set free is ever going to start, you've got to start it. If being set free is ever going to happen, you've got to make it happen. Because God's already done everything He needs to do. Now you got to do what you need to do. Because even though you are not responsible for that abuse, you are responsible for recovering from it. So let me ask you this morning. Do you really want to be healed of abuse? Or do you just want to stay a victim for the rest of your life like all the Black Lives Matter people? Because I'll tell you, being a victim has a lot of perks. You get instant identity. Everybody feels sorry for you. They give you a pass on every wrong thing you do. Well, I was abused. Oh, okay then. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle got gazillions of dollars in an interview with Oprah Winfrey just for being victims. So don't tell me it doesn't pay off. But see, it's wrong because God has not called us to be victims. God has called us to be victors. So the first thing we need to do to be set free from the abuse, you have got to open up about it and open up about what that person did to you. Because that hurt that you're carrying around totally thrives on you keeping it a secret. So the power that that abuse has over you starts to break the very nanosecond you open up and tell somebody else about it. And believe me, talking about it is a lot easier than trying to keep it bottled up inside year after year after year. And listen to me. God can't heal it if you don't reveal it. You've got to open up. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, telling somebody that I've been abused, real men don't do that. They don't. Last October, Kyle Beach of the Chicago Blackhawks finally opened up about how Blackhawks video coach Brad Aldridge sexually molested him during a training session and then told him if he said anything, he'd never play in the NHL again. And Kyle Beach said opening up and talking about that was what started that healing process in him. And take a look at those pictures. Kyle Beach opened up about he was abused. You don't think Kyle Beach is a real man? Charles Manson was raised by a mom who was mentally ill, who beat that kid every single day and humiliated him by making him wear dresses to school. until the day she finally dumped him out at Boys Town Orphanage and abandoned him for good. And Charles Manson went on to become one of the most demonic murderers in the history of this country. You don't deal with life, life will deal with you. You bury those feelings, you will carry them forever. You have got to open up about what happened to you. And then you take that hurt and you give it to Jesus Christ. And then to be completely healed, you have got to forgive that person who did that to you. And that's not just a suggestion, it's a command. Ephesians 4:32. Forgive as God in Christ has forgiven you. Listen to me. If Jesus Christ could forgive the Roman soldiers who tortured Him and crucified Him and abused Him on the cross, we can forgive the people who hurt us. And you say, Kevin, I'm not going to do that for them. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for you. Because forgiveness does not mean that the abuse never happened, because it did. And the forgiveness doesn't mean it didn't hurt you, because it did. It doesn't mean it wasn't wrong, because it was. And forgiveness doesn't mean that you don't call the police or hold that person accountable or go to court and testify against them, because you certainly need to. And forgiveness doesn't mean you're ever going to trust that person again or that you're going to let them babysit your kids. Forgiveness doesn't mean you're going to be BFF or that you're going to invite them to your Easter egg hunt next Sunday afternoon. You forgiving that person doesn't mean that God has forgiven that person. Because that person still has to go to Jesus Christ, confess that sin, put that sin under the blood, or they will go to hell forever for what they did for you. Forgiveness simply means you are not going to let something that somebody did to you in the past destroy your life and keep you from all the wonderful things that God has for you in the future. I know from experience, if you don't let it go, that abuse is never going to let you go. Let it go and forgive it. And I got to tell you, forgiveness ain't for wimps, because it's hard. And forgiveness is a process and it takes time. And I know that because I'm still working on forgiving the people that hurt me. But you do it and be set free. You can be set free. I don't care how horrible, I don't care how awful, I don't care how horrific that abuse may have been. You can be set free. Back in 1978, Mary Vincent was a 15-year-old girl from Anaheim, California, trying to hitchhike to her grandpa's house when she got picked up by a serial killer named Larry Singleton, hit that girl in the head, thrown her in the back of his van, repeatedly raped her, and then took an axe and cut off both of her arms below the elbow so that the police could not use her fingerprints to identify her body. Then he threw her for dead in a drainage ditch near Modesto, California. You talk about hellacious. You talk about being abused. But see, Mary Vincent didn't die. She crawled out of that ditch and walked for 3 miles with those stumps held up in the air so she wouldn't bleed to death, and got rescued and got fitted with prosthetic arms and was able to testify against Larry Singleton at his trial. But even though that monster did all that to her, he only got sentenced to 8 years in prison. And after the trial was over, he told Mary Vincent when he got out of the joint, he was going to hunt her down and finish the job. So for years and years, Mary Vincent lived in constant fear and PTSD, scared to death of everybody, jumping at every shadow. She dwindled down to 88 pounds and ended up being a prostitute just to be able to survive. But then Larry Singleton murdered a girl in Florida. And Mary Vincent had to testify against him again in Florida. But before she testified against him the second time, Mary Vincent finally gave her life and all that hurt to Jesus Christ. And she married a police detective. And today she is a professional artist, even with the prosthetic arms and the prosthetic hands. And she has a nationwide ministry now reaching out to victims of violent sexual crimes. This is what Mary Vincent said. What that man did to me was horrible. And for years and years, I let that abuse destroy my life like he really had killed me. But when I finally came to Christ and turned it all over to Him, I realized how you interpret something determines how you respond to it. And I realized Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, that the devil meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. So because of what happened, God is using me to help so many people come to Christ and get through all the trauma they suffered. It's Christ that takes your pain away so you can help other people get rid of their pain too. People, listen to me. If Jesus Christ could set Mary Vincent free from the hell that she went through, Jesus Christ can sure enough set you free from the abuse that you went through. Turn to Jesus Christ and be healed. Folks, we need to turn to Jesus Christ, because right now we are facing abuse in this country that is beyond the pale. And I'm talking about the Holocaust of abortion. The Supreme Court could very well vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. And because of that, leftist governors all over America are trying to do everything they possibly can to protect abortion in their individual states. So last week, Jared Polis, governor of Colorado, signed a bill that makes it legal for parents in that state to kill their unborn baby for whatever reason they want, up to the nanosecond that baby is born. But then get this. A lawmaker in California proposed a bill that would allow parents to kill their babies up to 7 days after they're born. I said after they're born. So after birth, abortion is finally here. And then a lawmaker in the state of Maryland proposed a bill that parents be allowed to kill their children up to a month after they're born. I am not making this up. And my question is, why limit it to a month? Why not 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds? They get on your nerves just off them. No repercussions whatsoever. People, this is infanticide. They want us to feel sorry for all the slaughter that's going on in Ukraine right now. Heaven's sakes, what about all the slaughter that's going on in America of the unborn? No other nation on the face of the earth does this. We don't even do this to dogs and cats. You talk about abuse. And the only healing for it, the only way that we can be set free from this, is by turning to Jesus Christ and the cross. I don't know who you think Jesus Christ is, but He's not just some high and mighty celebrity that can't be bothered with your problems. Because I guarantee you nobody, and I mean nobody, understands the reality of pain and suffering more deeply than the one who was tortured and crucified 2,000 years ago. You're listening to the sermon right now. You're sitting in this church. You were abused. You got betrayed. Somebody really, really hurt you. But I guarantee you, Jesus Christ can relate to you a lot better than Marilyn Manson or Insane Clown Posse can. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, was handed over to be crucified. He was despised and rejected of men, just like you were. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to have the most important people in your life, people who are supposed to love you and support you more than anything else in the whole wide world, hurt you and dump on you and turn their backs on you. Everything you felt, He felt. And the soldiers took charge of Jesus. And they mocked Him. Previous picture. And they spit on Him. And they punched Him. And they beat Him. They beat Him like a dog for no reason whatsoever. And they pushed a crown of thorns on top of His head and the blood flowed even more. And then they whipped Him with a whip that had bits of bone and metal sewn into the lashes so it tore out big chunks of flesh when it bit on His skin. And His blood flew all over the place. And He did that for you. Everything that hurt you hurt Him. The tears you cried, He cried. The whooping you got, He got. The cuts and the welts that you suffered, He suffered. The pain you felt, He felt. Times a trillion. And then when He was almost dead, they forced Him to carry the cross outside the city of Jerusalem up to a hill called Calvary. And there, they crucified Him. They got Jesus to the top of that hill. They threw Him down to the ground on His back. On top of that cross, they doubled up His feet, pounded a single 9-inch spike through both of Jesus' feet into the wood of that cross. Then they pounded 9-inch spikes into each of Jesus' wrists, purposely severing the median nerve that runs all the way from your hand to your shoulder, which meant Jesus' arms were absolutely powerless and useless. And because while He was hanging there, His intercostal muscles got paralyzed, the only way that Jesus could breathe was by pushing up and down with all His weight on that single spike running through both of His feet. Over and over and over again. And there He suffered for 3 hours, slowly suffocating, the CO2 building up in His system, His lungs gradually collapsing until His heart finally gave out. And Jesus died of asphyxiation. Crucifixion was absolutely the most horrific form of execution known to mankind, specifically designed to maximize the pain while prolonging death for as long as possible. It was so bad. Our English words agony and excruciating come from that word crucifixion. You say, nobody knows what I went through? Jesus does. You say, nobody knows how I feel? Jesus does. See, Jesus Christ was abused too, more than anybody else ever has been before or since. Everything you suffered from, He suffered for. Because Jesus not only died for the sins you committed, He also died for the sins that were committed against you too. Jesus suffered for all those things once for all, so you wouldn't have to keep suffering from them over and over and over again. Your life is not determined by what somebody did to you. Your life is only determined by what Jesus Christ did for you. And because of that, you don't have to keep being a victim of abuse. You can be healed. You can be set free. No power on earth can do that for you. But Jesus can. And He does it through the cross. Because at the cross, there is a grace beyond comprehension that some way, somehow meets all the pain and all the hurt and all the hell that we went through. And in a way that we cannot understand, in a way that is an absolute mystery, at the cross, somehow that grace meets that pain, destroys the power that it has over us, and provides a healing for the soul. By His stripes, we are healed. Now, how that works exactly, I do not know. But I know that it does work. And I know that it'll work for you. When I was 8 years old, I got felt up by a drunk man in a movie theater. I know exactly what it's like to be touched. I know exactly what it's like to feel violated. But there are people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. What I went through cannot even begin to compare to what you went through. Sometimes over and over again, day after day after day, year after year. And you've never forgotten it. And to this day, you've never gotten over it either. Have you? I don't know exactly what your abuse was. I don't know exactly what happened to you. But I do know who is with you right now. And that's Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ was abused worse than anybody else ever has been before or since and still overcame it, by faith in Jesus Christ, you can overcome your abuse too. Other people can help you. Jesus can heal you. But that all starts by you exposing that and telling somebody else about it. When this service is over, after this final song, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you share that. You tell me what happened to you. You tell one of our prayer partners. You don't worry about confidentiality. What prays here stays here. And this is not a judgment on you. What happened to you is not a reflection on you. It's only a reflection on the person who did that to you. If you hadn't been there, it would have been somebody else. It's nothing about you. The service is over. You get up out of your seat. You come to the front of this church and talk to me. And we'll go to Jesus together. And we'll talk to Jesus together. And He will start destroying the power that that thing has over you. And He will start setting you free. In 41 years, I have preached in places all over the entire world, and I have seen person after person after person be set free from bad things that happened to them in the past. Today, that person can be you. And I will tell you right now, the healing won't come all at once. It'll be a little bit at a time. But what that means is tomorrow will be better than today. And next week will be better than this week. And next month will be better than this month. There's people here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus can't heal you because you don't know Him. You need to get up out of your seat and come to the front of this church after this service is over and pray to receive Christ. There is freedom here. There is healing here for anybody who is willing to come up here this morning and claim it.